In a world where elven magic determines your worth and humans serve as breeding stock, Samantha Amstutz's dark fantasy novel, The Aspect of Essence, has captivated readers with its unflinching examination of power dynamics. The book has gained a cult following among fantasy enthusiasts who appreciate morally complex characters and intricate magic systems. Drawing inspiration from works like The Wheel of Time and Lord of the Rings, Amstutz creates a world where the boundaries between good and evil blur, and where connection, whether magical or emotional, becomes both salvation and curse. What would you sacrifice for freedom in a world that sees you as merely a vessel for power? The world of The Aspect of Essence is built upon rigid hierarchies determined by bloodlines and magical ability. At the top sit the pure-blooded elves, descendants of the ancient elfin, who once guided primitive humans toward civilization. These elves can control all eight elements of essence: force, telepathy, illusion, mending, rending, shielding, illumination, and portaling. Each elf possesses a personal well of magic that depletes with use and must be replenished through meditation under starlight. However, this seemingly perfect race harbors a devastating secret. They can no longer reproduce among themselves. For nearly two centuries, elven fertility has declined precipitously, a crisis that Jacin, an elven-blooded mender, theorizes might be a magical curse cast by an extinct race called druids who sacrificed themselves to protect humans from elven dominance. The elven solution to this existential threat has been systematic breeding with humans, creating a mixed-blood population known as elven-blooded. These half-breeds possess limited magical abilities compared to pure elves and are treated as second-class citizens, relegated to military service at Centaria Academy, a floating island fortress that serves as both training ground and containment facility for those of mixed heritage. Meanwhile, human realms like Alinar exist in a state of feudal subservience to their elven overlords. The stark contrast between elven opulence and human poverty is deliberately maintained, with humans kept ignorant of the true nature of elven magic through magical coercion and carefully controlled information. Beyond the borders of civilization lurks another race, the Wraith. Initially presented as mindless monsters with midnight ash skin and blood-colored eyes, these creatures are revealed to be far more complex than they appear. They possess their own civilization hidden within a dormant volcano, wielding golden weapons specifically designed to counter elven magic. Princess Serena of Alinar begins her journey with dreams of ascending to the elven courts of Kayansari. Three-quarters elven by blood, she believes her royal heritage and magical potential will grant her entry to the glittering world of pure-blooded elves. Her naivete is both endearing and heartbreaking. She genuinely believes the propaganda that elves are benevolent guides for humanity rather than exploitative colonizers. When Jacin arrives as her tutor, Serena bombards him with excited questions about Alari, the elven realm she hopes to call home. She eagerly absorbs his lessons on elven history, unaware that her entire worldview is built on carefully constructed lies. The golden jewelry she proudly wears, markers of her royal status, are actually magical tethers designed to suppress her developing powers. Serena's rude awakening comes when she learns she won't be sent to the elven courts, but to Centaria Academy as a common soldier. In a moment of raw emotion, she tears off her golden jewelry at the beach, unknowingly releasing her suppressed magic. This act of rebellion marks the beginning of her transformation from sheltered princess to powerful magic wielder. At Centaria, Serena faces cruel reality checks at every turn. She meets her half-sister Isla, who mocks her ignorance of elven culture and boasts of having seven magical abilities. She discovers that her father, General Alashor, views her primarily as breeding stock, suggesting she pursue Prince Vestran romantically to position herself closer to power. Most devastatingly, she learns that Jacin was initially sent to Alinar not as her tutor, but as potential breeding material, a proposition he refused despite the promise of freedom from his own contracts. Yet amid these harsh truths, Serena's fiery spirit remains unbroken. When Prince Vestran subjects her class to excruciating pain to force their magic to manifest, she alone stands after each assault, eventually snapping into her rending ability through sheer determination. Her resilience catches the prince's attention, leading to private training sessions where she discovers they share a rare magical bond, an automatic connection between their essence that creates electric sensations whenever they touch. If Serena represents naive hope gradually tempered by harsh reality, Jacin embodies the crushing weight of systemic oppression. As an elven-blooded mender with exceptional healing abilities, he should be valued for his skills. Instead, he's treated as breeding stock, contractually bound to couple with 4 elven females up to 16 times yearly. These handlers mark his body with tattoos as ownership symbols. Refusal could mean disappearance or death. To endure this sexual servitude, Jacin has become dependent on stardust, a magical substance that allows him to black out during these encounters, leaving only fragmented memories of his abuse. Despite this trauma, Jacin maintains his compassion and ethical boundaries. When General Elashor offers to free him from his breeding contracts in exchange for impregnating Serena, Jacin refuses, unwilling to drag her into the same breeding fate he endures. He genuinely cares for Serena as a person, admiring her defiance while trying to protect her from the harsh realities of elven society. Jacin's research into the elven fertility crisis reveals a darker truth. The elves have been deliberately breeding humans with ancestral connections to elemental shamanic powers for generations. His discovery of detailed genealogy charts tracing human lineages back 32 generations suggests a systematic eugenics program designed to produce specific magical traits. His relationship with Prince Vesrin is complicated by a painful history. The prince once pushed him off of flying Dracovay to trigger his shielding abilities, leaving Jacin with a lasting fear of heights. This trauma altered his career path, steering him away from the Rangers and toward healing. Yet despite this past cruelty, Vesrin ultimately frees Jacin from his breeding contracts, giving him ownership of himself for the first time. Prince Vesrin Falcon emerges as one of the most complex figures in the narrative, his character shaped by profound loss and the crushing weight of royal expectations. His initial appearance at Centauria, dramatically tossing 3 severed wraith heads before the assembled nobles, establishes him as a formidable warrior who treats courtly ceremonies with barely veiled contempt. The announcement of an essence tournament comes with a curl of his lip that suggests he views such spectacles as beneath him, though tradition demands their continuation. As an instructor, his methods reflect both his military excellence and his damaged psyche. He unleashes waves of shadow magic that bring recruits to their knees, justifying his brutality as necessary for survival against the wraith threat. His training sessions become notorious among the students, who both fear and admire his undeniable mastery of combat magic. Yet beneath his harsh methods lies a calculated purpose. He believes that only through extreme pressure can true potential emerge. The complexity of his relationship with Serena reveals the depths of his internal struggle. In one moment, he breaks her finger as punishment for insubordination, while simultaneously using his magic to block her pain, an act that demonstrates both cruelty and an unexpected mercy. His manipulation of her emotions to trigger her force magic shows his tactical mind, but his subsequent mockery of her response to his seduction hints at his own emotional walls. These contradictions become more pronounced as their relationship develops, with Vesrin struggling between maintaining his carefully constructed facade and responding to genuine emotional connection. The tragic loss of his brother through their shared magical bond provides crucial context for his behavior. This traumatic severance left him emotionally hollowed, explaining his initial fascination with the unexpected bond forming with Serena. Despite his arranged engagement to Serena's sister Ayla, a political alliance orchestrated by the elven court, Vesrin finds himself drawn into an emotional attachment he neither planned nor welcomed. His confession that, whatever this is, it's more than a bond to me, marks a significant crack in his carefully maintained emotional armor. His solitary wraith hunting expeditions reveal both his exceptional combat abilities and a deeper death wish. When he returns from facing nearly 100 wraith alone, his body riddled with arrows, yet his sardonic humor intact, it exposes the depth of his self-destructive tendencies. Only Serena's demand for a promise to stop hunting alone manages to penetrate his defenses, leaving him visibly shaken by the realization that someone again cares whether he lives or dies. This moment marks a turning point in his character development, forcing him to confront the possibility of emotional vulnerability after years of deliberate isolation. The novel's most complex character may be the Wraith leader Lycor, who shares a body with an entity named Asar. Their internal struggle provides a fascinating counterpoint to the external conflicts between elves and humans. Lycor leads the Wraith from their hidden stronghold inside a dormant volcano, an ancient druid capital preserved as if its inhabitants simply vanished. Under his leadership, the Wraith population has grown fivefold over 80 years, with Wraithlings born into relative safety. He focuses on crafting golden weapons, their advantage against essence wielders, and preparing his people for survival. Yet Lycor constantly battles another consciousness in his mind, Asar, who urges him to form connections with his people rather than remaining isolated. Their shared body experiences a mysterious magical bond tugging at their chest, connecting them to an unknown magic user, likely Serena. The revelation that Lycor and Asar are actually the same person, with Lycor as an alter personality created through trauma, adds psychological depth to the character. Lycor's lieutenant, Kull, desperately tries to reach Asar, claiming Lycor is still the same elf somewhere in there, suggesting Asar was originally an elf before becoming Wraith. This internal conflict culminates during the Wraith attack on Centauria. When Lycor spots Vesrin wielding familiar twin glaives, Asar's weapons, a magical compulsion implanted by King Galarin activates. Destroy him. But Asar seizes control, forcing Lycor into darkness after years of passive submission. In the ultimate sacrifice, Asar commands the Wraith to retreat, then steps off the parapet's ledge, plunging to his death, the only way to stop Lycor permanently and protect everyone, including his brother Vesrin. This revelation that Asar is Vesrin's brother adds another layer of tragedy to the complex web of relationships. At its core, the aspect of essence explores different forms of bondage and connection through its intricate magical system. The mystical bond between Serena and Vesrin serves as a powerful metaphor for emotional intimacy, allowing them to sense each other's feelings without reading thoughts, creating both vulnerability and strength. This connection manifests physically through shared sensations. When one experiences pain, the other winces. When one feels joy, the other's mood lifts inexplicably. When Serena mentally barricades herself from this connection after learning about Vesrin's engagement, her emotional walls materialize as actual magical barriers, complete with shimmering force fields that pulse with her hurt and anger. The breeding contracts that bind Yasin represent institutionalized exploitation, their magical enforcement leaving visible marks that glow beneath his skin like golden chains. These marks intensify when he attempts to resist, much like how systemic oppression tightens its grip on those who fight against it. The magical coercion preventing him from revealing elven secrets manifests as a throat-closing spell that symbolizes enforced complicity in oppressive systems. When Vesrin finally frees him from these contracts, declaring, "You belong to yourself now," the golden chains shatter into light, a powerful representation of both literal and metaphorical liberation that leaves Jacen trembling with newfound autonomy. The shared consciousness of Lycor and Asar provides a fascinating exploration of the bonds we form with different aspects of ourselves. Their unique condition, two minds inhabiting one body, illustrates how trauma can fragment identity while still maintaining connection. When Licor takes control, Asar's consciousness retreats to a mental space described as a starlit garden, suggesting that even in division, there exists beauty and peace. Their internal struggle mirrors the external conflicts between races, suggesting that the boundaries between self and other are more permeable than they appear, a theme reinforced by their eventual discovery that they can merge their consciousness without losing their individual identities. The magic system itself revolves around connection, with essence stored in personal wells that can be shared, depleted, or replenished through meditation under stars. These wells appear as swirling vortexes of light within each person's chest, their brightness reflecting emotional and physical well-being. The sharing of essence becomes an intimate act when Vesarin infuses Serena with his essence, plunging a glowing orb of magic into her chest that makes her skin glow and veins light up like constellation patterns. It represents both literal power transfer and metaphorical intimacy. This act creates a permanent bond between their wells, symbolizing how deep connections change us fundamentally. The novel further explores these themes through the ancient practice of well binding, where mages can permanently link their essence pools. This ritual, traditionally performed at weddings or between battle partners, shows how commitment and trust can transform into tangible magical connections that strengthen both parties while making them vulnerable to each other's pain, much like real-world relationships. The novel's magic system serves as both a narrative framework and a complex metaphor for power dynamics, personal growth, and the cost of ability. Each manifestation of magical power operates within a carefully constructed web of consequences and limitations that profoundly shapes not only individual character arcs, but the entire society structure. The traumatic process of snapping into magical abilities creates deep-seated psychological complications and unhealthy dependencies, as veteran mage Jacin repeatedly warns Serena. This awakening typically occurs through intense emotional or physical trauma, a system that inherently damages its practitioners even as it empowers them. Serena's first experience with rending magic comes through excruciating pain inflicted by Vesarin during their confrontation in the Temple Gardens, while her force magic emerges through a complex web of emotional manipulation and awakened sexual desire. These traumatic catalysts leave lasting psychological scars that manifest in various ways, from Serena's recurring nightmares to her complicated relationship with power itself. The magic system's regenerative limitations create strategic vulnerabilities and forced interdependence among practitioners. Magic depletes with use, requiring careful regeneration through meditation under starlight, a process that can take hours or even days for full restoration. This limitation proves particularly dangerous during critical moments, as when Serena's well completely drains during the Wraith attack on the Northern Settlement, leaving her defenseless amid chaos and destruction. The need for regeneration also creates complex power dynamics and dependencies between magic users, exemplified when Vesarin must restore both Jacin's and Serena's depleted magic after the battle, an act that simultaneously saves and humbles them. The golden jewelry worn by elven-blooded nobles represents more than mere ornamentation. These pieces function as magical tethers, carefully suppressing latent abilities until their bearers are deemed ready for proper training. This system of control through ornament reflects the broader societal structures of power and restraint. When Serena tears off these tethers during an emotional breakdown in the palace gardens, she unknowingly releases years of suppressed magical potential, a powerful metaphor for how emotional authenticity and self-acceptance can unlock hidden strengths even as they threaten established order. The elven fertility crisis stands as the ultimate example of magic's double-edged nature. Long theorized to be the result of an ancient curse cast by vengeful druids, this crisis represents how power misused eventually turns against its wielders. The very magical enhancements that once made the elven bloodline superior now threaten their extinction, forcing proud noble houses into the same breeding programs they once viewed with disdain. This ironic reversal serves as a stark reminder that even the most powerful magic users cannot escape the consequences of their actions or those of their ancestors. Through these interconnected elements, the magic system becomes a lens through which the novel explores themes of power, responsibility, and the inevitable price of ability. The physical and emotional toll of magical power mirrors real-world dynamics of privilege and influence, while the system's limitations and consequences create compelling narrative tensions that drive both personal and political conflicts throughout the story. The novel's climactic Wraith attack on Centaria brings all these themes together in a crucible of violence and revelation. The battle unfolds across multiple dimensions, not just in the physical clash between Wraith and elves, but in the psychological warfare that forces each character to confront their deepest fears and assumptions. The assault begins at twilight, when the barrier between light and shadow is thinnest, symbolizing the blurring lines between perceived enemies. Serena's journey through the battle becomes a testament to both empowerment and humility. She discovers her innate strength during the attack, wielding light magic with unprecedented precision to reveal hidden Wraith assassins and using her rending power to tear through their shadowy defenses. Yet this same battle forces her to acknowledge her dependence on Vesrin. Without their soul bond channeling magic between them, she would have fallen to a Wraith's blade in the library tower. This dual realization of both her raw power and fundamental vulnerability transforms her approach to magic from mere technique to a deeper understanding of connection and balance. Her subsequent vow to master her abilities independently stems not from pride, but from a mature recognition of interdependence. Jacen's encounter with the speaking Wraith, Marys, in the castle's underground passages provides the novel's most direct challenge to established prejudices. The Wraith's conscious choice to spare his life, coupled with clear signs of external mental control, similar to King Galeran's telepathic manipulation, forces Jacen to confront the possibility that the entire conflict is built on manufactured hatred. Their brief exchange reveals shared experiences of mental bondage that transcend racial divisions, suggesting a common enemy behind both sides' suffering. The battle reaches its emotional crescendo with Asar's sacrifice. As Lycor's blade descends toward Vesrin, Asar's intervention and his dying revelation of their shared bloodline shatters centuries of racial ideology. The discovery that a feared Wraith commander could be the long-lost brother of an elven prince reframes the entire conflict, suggesting that the boundaries between races might be as artificial as the walls dividing their territories. In the battle's aftermath, the courtyard becomes a tableau of transformed relationships. Vesrin's carefully controlled exterior barely contains his primal grief and rage, visible in the trembling of his clenched fists and the storm brewing in his eyes. Jacen, usually uncomfortable with emotional display, offers wordless support to Serena, their shared trauma creating a bridge stronger than any previous alliance. Elishor's warriors move among the dead with newfound solemnity, collecting bodies of both Elsh and Wraith with equal reverence, a silent acknowledgement that death has rendered meaningless the divisions they once held sacred. These quiet moments amid the devastation reinforce the novel's central thesis, that true power manifests not through individual magical prowess, but through the connections we forge in our darkest hours. The battle's physical scars will heal, but its revelation of shared humanity between supposed enemies promises more lasting transformation. As The Aspect of Essence concludes, it leaves several threads dangling for its sequel, The Chains of Fate. Vesrin departs to interrogate Wraith prisoners, promising to return. Serena resolves to master her power independently rather than relying on the prince's help. Jacen must confront his stardust addiction after dismissing his encounter with a speaking Wraith as a hallucination. The Wraith themselves have been revealed as far more complex than initially presented, organized, intelligent, and possibly connected to elves in ways yet to be fully explained. The revelation that they wear armor and wield golden weapons specifically designed to counter elven magic suggests a sophistication beyond mere monsters. Questions about the elven fertility crisis remain unanswered. Is Jacen's theory correct, that druids cursed the elves' fertility to protect humans from exploitation? If so, could this curse be reversed? And what implications would that have for the breeding programs that have caused so much suffering? The political machinations hinted at throughout the novel, Elashor's comments about power shifting in the courts, Vesrin's engagement to Isla, King Galarin's telepathic coercion, suggest a complex web of alliances and betrayals waiting to unfold. The discovery of genealogy charts tracking human lineages with elemental powers implies a larger plan that has yet to be revealed. Most poignantly, the emotional connections formed between characters, Serena and Vesrin's magical bond, Jacen and Serena's friendship, even the complex relationship between Lycor and Cal, create personal stakes that transcend the larger conflict. As these relationships evolve, they may offer paths toward healing in a world fractured by blood, magic, and centuries of oppression. In this richly textured world where magic binds as surely as it liberates, the characters' journeys have only just begun. The true test will not be who wields the most power, but who can break the cycles of exploitation and find connection across the boundaries that divide them.